happy to be with you guys. So much so that I still get up at 6 o'clock in the morning just to be part of this extravaganza, the Zoomcast extravaganza that we call Thinking Out Loud with Friends. And I am really happy to be part of it. And I'm really happy that you guys are here with me today. So thank you so much for participating. This is our 202nd consecutive Zoomcast. I think that's pretty impressive myself, that we've kept with it so long. And, you know, I kind of look forward now to Wednesdays, you know.
Do you know what the date of the first meeting was?
Well, if you go back 202 weeks, you can tell me.
Thanks.
That's Google.
Well, it was Wednesday.
In March 2020.
Yeah.
Yep, those were the days, my friend. Ben, you look back now at what happened during COVID, and it never, first of all, not one of us ever experienced anything like that before in our real life. As a matter of fact, nobody in the world ever experienced anything like that, to my knowledge. And it really has left a lasting impact on my life and the way I do business and the way I just do everything. I mean, how is it affecting you guys? I mean, is COVID over for you still? Or do you still see the remnant effects of COVID?
It changed the world. I got a buddy who's been in the real estate business for ever since we graduated from college, and I'm 61. I graduated in 85. So it's been a while. This guy does commercial real estate out here in the San Fernando Valley and in, you know, Los Angeles. And he was telling me that the quantity of buildings on the Los Angeles downtown skyline that are on the verge of financial collapse because they don't have enough tenants. All the businesses that, you know, are supporting homework, you know, a couple of days a week or more, have downscaled and downsized their offices to absolutely the bare minimum for what they need when they have a meeting or, you know, have a few people in the office. But it is sending shockwaves through the real estate industry.
Yeah, it's crazy what's happening in the, you know, it's crazy. If only I knew now what I knew then, or vice versa. If only
I would have shorted. Yeah. there were some great shorts to be had. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's the over under on Chris mispatching something while he's trying to talk to us and work at the same time?
Well, the audio.
It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. The audio is so simple.
You hear a big fuck, you know, then you'll know that I've screwed it up.
Maybe you need a system tech.
Yeah, and Ken, thank you again. I picked up the got the cases today.
Oh, nice.
And Nate, what a small world. The guy's a drummer, and so we had a really nice chat. And he had a couple of blue cases with the famous Ken Newman handles on them. So I actually got to see what that was.
That's funny.
Yeah, we had a really nice chat, and great guy.
Great, yeah, good shop. People.
Everything was just a pleasant experience all the way around.
So I entered those numbers into Excel spreadsheet, today being the 3rd of April, 2024. I subtracted 202 weeks from that, which is known as 1,414 days. And that comes up with May 20th, May 20th, 2020.
Wow. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. If you were sitting on your edge of your chairs wondering what day it was, you could stop doing your research now because Kenny has done it. But just remember, everything you hear today is an opinion, so do your own research.
Does that take into account the leap years?
I just said minus that many days. Yeah,
oh no,
well, it takes into account.
Excel does.
Absolutely takes into account all of that. Yeah, they're very good about dates. You can even calculate bond yield by date in Excel.
Oh, let's go backwards a little bit, because last week and the week before, we were talking about clocking. And believe it or not, this week, two stories about clocking came up in the actual news of the world. Number one, and Kurt, Chris, you want to talk about that?
No, go ahead and tell us what the stories are.
Oh, come on. You know better than I do. Something about the atomic clock has to be
Back. Yeah. We chatted about that. Yeah, apparently they're going to have a negative 1 second, you know, leap coming up. Because it's something to do with, I'm not super familiar with it, but obviously it has something to do with the rotation of the Earth.
Yeah, they have to do that about every 10 years to correct for the rotation.
Yeah, they say that the Earth is spinning faster. I can't feel it, actually. I stuck my finger up in the air, and I just...
It's because of the liberals. You know, the liberals are making the Earth spin faster and stuff, yeah, and tree huggers and all that stuff. It's just out of control. They're so wrong.
You couldn't feel it because of all of the climate change that's occurring.
Excess thrust from all the windmills.
And keep in mind, the moon is moving further away all the time, and pretty soon it won't even be an eclipse because it'll be too small. So enjoy it.
There you have it. But speaking
that's because
of
the liberals, right?
Yeah. I mean, just think what the liberals are causing this on April 8th. I mean, the total eclipse of the sun. Wasn't there a song like that?
It was the heart, though, Jan. The heart. Total eclipse of the heart.
Total eclipse of the heart. That was it. Had like a four on the floor kit part. Who wrote the Kim?
Was it Kim Carnes? No, no.
Yeah. Yes, I think it is. It's Kim Carnes.
Kim Carnes.
Total eclipse of the heart. And it's got like that da 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 da. And it's just a, you know, continuous four on the floor kick drum on that song. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so not only speaking of the moon and timing, that they have just decided, all the countries in the world, they are now going to set up a lunar time. So now they're going to set up a lunar clock because the lunar clock spins differently than the Earth clock. And so now we have a lunar clock, which is being decided on right now as we speak, right here, right now. The world is coming together. The scientific community of the world is working on a lunar clock that when you're on the moon, you're going to be at a different time zone than there is on the planet.
So that's has to happen.
Keep in mind, the moon doesn't spin. The moon is always facing the same way.
Wait, what?
Well, that's why there's only one side of the moon. The dark side of the moon, it never faces the Earth. So
I thought it was because it rotated with the same speed as something.
It turns with the Earth. And it doesn't spin turning in the Earth. It
doesn't spin on axis.
There's no spinning of the moon.
I seem to remember a commercial from Chanel with Brad Pitt as you turn, the world turns with it. Do you remember that thing? It was like the most highly panned. One of the most expensive and highly panned commercials of all time.
Now, to get back to why they're doing this, though, is because atomic clocks are gravity dependent. Gravity on the moon is different than it is on Earth.
Yeah, now, are you speaking with first-hand knowledge?
Yeah.
Have you heard about the new restaurant on the moon, Greg?
The what?
A new restaurant on the moon?
No.
The food's great, but there's not much atmosphere.
Yeah.
Oh.
Got a rim shot there, Chris?
Okay, here we go. Boom.
Greg,
just like on Scoville's Zoom meeting, we couldn't hear that boom.
Couldn't hear it, yeah.
You say boom, but we didn't hear it when you hit it.
Yeah.
I can fix that.
Greg, wasn't it you that told me that you wanted to go to the sun? And I said, you can't go because it's so bright. And you said, well, yeah, but I'm going to go at night.
I'll go at night. I'm going to go at night.
That was you.
So I got a real, well, no, probably wouldn't be. No, I won't.
What's that?
A little too political. And I got a great real story, but it's a little bit insensitive. So I'll save it for later.
Good. Save it for later. Save it for off the air. That way people who are watching this, might be tempted to come in when we're off the air so that they can join the conversation, which is pretty cool. Thanks for clicking all the likes and for sharing this. It's starting to pick up. So people are actually listening to what we're saying. And then they're taking it, printing it out and using it to line their bird cages. So there you go. It's very nice. By the way, I just want to say, you know, rest in peace, Falco, the owl from New York. He basically, you know, he met his demise. He had herpes, pigeon herpes. Unbelievable. I just like, wow, what a life he was living, you know, when he escaped from that jail cell of the zoo.
Okay, did you see? Did you see SNL? Did you see SNL last week? They had a great thing on, you know, on Weekend Update. They had the owl on as a guest. It was very funny.
Yes, it was very funny. I mean, I don't watch much Saturday Night Live anymore. Live, I watch it on YouTube. You know, little snippets. It's really, I think they've gotten really funny. Colin Jost and Michael Che, really good. I mean, they're doing great political satire.
The gal that did the owl that played the owl. She's really funny. I forget her name, but she's really funny.
Is it actually on earlier, or is that just me imagining it? Is it on like?
It's on at 8:30. It's on East Coast time live, and then it's on again at 11:30 West Coast time.
But didn't it used to be like 1 a.m.? Like when I was a kid, it was like.
I think it was 11:30. No,
I think it's always been 11:30, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was 11:30 live after the news on the East Coast, and it's now prime time.
That's what it is. They used to delay it here, and it was 11:30 West PST.
Yeah.
Now it's
like. Before cable, when it was real broadcast, yeah. or NBC used to, they do it just like the Tonight Show, you know.
No, but the Tonight Show, they don't broadcast live. They broadcast SNL actually live nowadays.
Okay.
So that's the difference, is you get to see it live on the West Coast, which we always were deprived of the live experience.
Right, right. That's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the you know, but Kenny, if I remember correctly, didn't you do Saturday Night Live with Manilow?
No. I've never worked Saturday Night Live, but my brother-in-law works it all the time.
I had a friend who was doing it, and they invited me down when I was in New York to go to this. It's really small, but for some reason I remember being there, and I can't remember. Maybe it's just my mind making things up right now, which is not unusual for me at this time.
Yeah, but, look how old you are. You know, you're getting old, Jan. You know, that happens.
I'm going to be 73 in a couple of weeks. I can't even believe
it
myself. See that?
Yeah, great.
But when you look at the alternative, it's really, you know, it's a much better thought, you know?
Yes.
Much better thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. I did Saturday Night Live once with Jennifer Lopez.
How about that?
That was really cool. It is small.
Yes.
And all the hallways are used for something or other. You know, you walk underneath the stands where the people are, and there's tons of stuff there, cabling, and it's just a real busy place.
Yeah. So, by the way, is anybody going to be watching the eclipse? It's on April 8th. Anybody here going to? 32 million people are going to be doing it. Is any one of
it's
us
on the 8th on Monday?
I wonder
what it's going to look like in Vegas.
Stare right at it.
Well, we're supposed to.
It's not on Vegas. You won't see it in Vegas as a total eclipse. It's on the East Coast. It's right by. Yeah. It's going right by Brian's house.
Yeah, we're 80% here. So. My family all lives in Southern Illinois, and they're telling people not to come because when they had the eclipse back in 17, they just had such a net traffic nightmare out there. But now they are Dallas-Fort Worth area is supposed to be under severe storm. So people are scrambling to find new viewing locations. And then they're actually calling it a teacher's workshop day in Ohio and Indiana because they don't think they can control the kids coming out of school and not having them look at the eclipse. So they don't want the school doesn't want to be responsible for blind children. So they're canceling schools that day. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I'm in Florida and Tampa's at 80% here. So yeah, we're still in the 80% ring, I think. So at the beginning. And yeah, I mean, this will be my 8th total eclipse I've seen, or be by experience. So,
well, every year is a trip around the sun, is what they say, you know. There was a show, you know, 365 things to do. I wish I could remember. It was a couple. They paid this couple to go around the world doing bucket list stuff. Anybody remember that show, what I'm talking about? It's really cool. They went to different cities. They went into the jungles. They went into, you know, and it was like a luxury vacation. It was National Geographic, I believe. And they paid this couple to give up their lives for 1 year to travel all over the world. So every week they were in a different location. They were doing all of these things that you would have on your bucket list. I remember this. I remember there was one show where they went to Brazil, and I had done a lot of the things. And one thing that they did in Brazil, they do these hang gliding things off this big mountain, and they go down and you land on the beach, and it's, you go in tandem. And to me, it's a little too scary to do, but they ended up having to do this part of their commitment to the show. It's really a cool show. I wish I could remember the name of it. But it's something like 365 things to do before you die. And then they start the show by saying, you know, that every year is a trip around the sun, which makes logical sense. But do your own research. That's all I could say. You know?
Well, there was an interesting map I saw last week from NASA that shows where the next 10 solar eclipses are going to be and their locations. It was just interesting to see how it moved around the Earth. But there's one that's supposed to be like 10 or 12 minutes in Antarctica in 8 or 9 years, or Arctica, not Antarctica. And so, and the area is big. So I'll backtrack, Jan, if I can, because when we were talking about time, you've heard about this new dam in China. It was built about 10 years ago. They have calculated that the amount of water held back by that dam has lengthened the day by 0.06 microseconds.
Wow, it's throwing the Earth's rotation off by that much.
I've had enough of that damn latency.
Yeah.
all we need is a Galileo. We can just get into Compass, put the delay back in, and we're all
put an iPad filter on that dam.
Yeah. The China's three-point dam.
Now, if you were on a ship and using a sextant, would you get lost because of this time change difference?
Time is relative. No, a sextant doesn't measure time.
But it changes the place on the Earth of the stars where you are, doesn't it? By the shift in time?
I don't think that a microsecond of time shift is going to translate to a huge distance.
Well, I guess not too many people are using the sextant to get around these days, but I'm sure there are.
Yeah, to get back to Kurt's point, you know, I'm wondering if they have SMART up on the ISS to go ahead and measure that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's another Googleable thing, a very Googleable thing that you could figure out. By the way, speaking of crazy shit, did you hear that they're going to charge now $15 to drive into Manhattan during prime time?
London's been doing it for years, you know.
London. What does it cost now? I mean, before the increase.
It's a surcharge.
Nothing free.
If you don't live in New York, or if you're commuting from New Jersey into New York for work, they're charging you a surcharge to cross the bridge.
No, they're charging you if you live uptown and drive into Midtown. It's the minute you cross whatever it is, 57th Street or whatever it is where they decided, the readers, the license plate readers are going to start billing people.
Well, they just announced today that the MTA wants to charge all the runners for the New York Marathon to cross the bridge. They want to charge a toll for the runners to cross the bridge during the marathon.
That's insane.
They won $750,000, wasn't it, Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to lose for the marathon.
Well, they say long distance running can take its toll on you.
Berger, he tried to bump Chad.
Yeah, he's got a million of them.
Yeah.
It's the meds.
Try the veal. It's really good, man. That's really good. I tell you. So now what's going on in California, Dave and Kenny? I mean, you guys are there. $20 an hour now to get a job in McDonald's.
That's great, right?
Well, we'll see what happens. They said, you know, they said that it's going to increase the price of a $10 meal by 25 to 50 cents. And people going, well, it's going to cost me $5 more to eat there. And it's like so stupid. People just ignorant. You know, they hear one thing or they hear it from those who want to make a point from maybe the radical right. And they just eat it up. But, yeah, it's going to make stuff a little more expensive.
Okay, so instead of that, you go to Costco. It's only $1.50 for a hot dog and a soda. It's the same exact cost as it was in 1985.
Didn't I hear that New York City is also has a minimum wage that's 19 and change?
It kind of makes sense.
I mean, it was already 14 or 15. It just went up $5. That's all.
But
that's a good, that's a noticeable increase, which is good for the people working. That's for sure, because I'm sure they need it.
What's going on in California? Really, it is. I mean, what do they have this thing now where they're trying to put a proposal that if you work for somebody after your hours of 8 hours, the boss is not allowed to call you. You're not allowed to do any work after that. What's going on with that?
What do you mean? There's a proposal to make you get paid for when you're working after you leave the office? What do you mean?
No. I forgot the name of the proposal. David, you know what I'm talking about? Chris, you know anything?
I was just reading
about what I'm talking about.
It basically, the boss is not allowed to when you turn your computer off and walk out the door, he's not allowed to contact you for any reason.
If you're on salary, I'm sure he's allowed to. If you're on salary.
No, they're trying to stop that. So if you're
what? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Just imagine, you start your day in, let's just say it's an 8-hour day. You start your day for, let's say you're doing Manilow, and then all of a sudden now your 8 hours are up and the show hasn't started. Yeah, you can walk off the job and they still got to pay you.
That's crazy.
It won't change my communication with my guys because they're all millennials and none of them turn their freaking ringer on anyway. So it doesn't really
matter. So the thing is, if you're like, well, that, so this must only apply to lower level employees, not to management, upper management, because upper management people have to talk to each other at all hours.
This is because when people would get out of work, their bosses would still send them emails that they were required to do and deal with and weren't getting paid for it. So they finally said, enough's enough. You know, they can't keep putting you on the clock without paying you to get on the clock. When your day is up, they cannot force you to get back.
So then there must be a sort of a minimum payment or some way to deal with. If he let's say the boss needs to get in touch with the cashier after hours, okay, I'm going to pay you an hour's pay for sending an email, or what? How does it work?
Non-working hours would be established in a written agreement prior to the workers and with the employer. If the employer violates this rule, they could face a civil penalty of $100 per incident.
Yep, that's right. Now here's the deal.
What about the employee? What about the employee? Do they get something for being contacted after hours?
It's just a civil penalty to the employer.
Oh, that's ridiculous, because $100 is nothing to most people, to most companies. You know, I mean, they won't do it repeatedly, but they'll take a pause before they do it. But still, it's not enough of a deterrent to not harass people.
This is never going to be. This is going to. If this does go through as a law, you know, first of all, people are working out of their houses right now. And so when you're working out of your house, and I know what it's like to work out of my house, I'm not on the clock all the time, although I'm working all the time. I'm not always working. You know, I'm going for coffee. I'm going to the toilet. I'm going out.
But you're not an hourly employee either. I think what we're talking about is an hourly employee.
This is hourly and salary.
Yeah. But in Jan's case, he's an owner. He's an owner. So he's like, you know, the head of the food chain.
Yeah, but everybody who works out of their house, nobody's working 24/7. You know, you're taking breaks, you're watching TV, you're going into the kitchen to get another cup of coffee, whatever it is you're doing. You know, you get your kids come over and you're now you're dealing with your kids. How many times
that's not that happen when you're working on a remote office and the office is open from 9 to 5. That's when you're supposed to be working. If during that 9 to 5 you go make coffee or you just go out to get the mail, that's not proper. Even though you do it, nobody can stop you from doing it. But your work hours are your work hours. You get so much for lunch and so much for a break. And if you do anything in between, yeah, that's nice because it's fungible. But if your job is 9 to 5 and they call you at 7 o'clock to do some work, they're in trouble.
So is this national or just California?
California only.
San Francisco. So.
Oh, I think
it's more or less is if I want to go hear Kenny mix Barry Manilow and I'm at the Barry concert and you call me, I'd have the right to not answer that phone because I've defined that as time that I'm taking off.
So is this Alameda County or the city of San Francisco?
Hang on. It was an alderman.
God, that is just.
So what happens if Ken's mixing Barry in San Francisco and his monitor guy's not watching the blaze on, like always, and he calls him on his cell phone 8.5 hours after they loaded in?
It doesn't have to answer the phone call. Doesn't have to do anything.
If a tree falls if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there, does it make a sound?
I mean, none of our days are 8 hours long. That's just
so, Chris.
Yeah, no, it doesn't apply to us. I don't think,
Chris. It's
Democratic. It applies to everybody in California.
Democratic Assemblyman Matt Haney of San Francisco is aiming to add California to a list of bills he introduced in February.
Also, yeah. It's for the whole state.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I missed it the first time.
I just thought it was just the Alameda County.
Oh my god!
But wow. I mean, what just that's going to that do for production? Pretty, it's going to destroy production. It's going to destroy it. I mean, you know, look, I'm going to say this. I'll say this, and I've said this for a long, long time. You know, we all get paid in direct proportion for what we do, our ability to do it, and the difficulty in replacing us. That's the fact. No matter what it is, you can argue that all you want, but Earl Nightingale really described it perfectly, and I just parroted his exact words. You know,
I can give you some anecdotal evidence. So, you know, I think I've stated before, I lived outside of the United States for about 30 years, and 22 or 23 of those years were in France. And France reduced their work week from 40 hours to 32 or 35 or whatever the hell, they've just picked an arbitrary number. So I was working with a guy who was working at Eutelsat, which is... Eutelsat has the Atlantic Bird 5 and some different satellites up there, and you can use VSAT antennas to have internet pretty much anywhere you are, as long as you're in the footprint of one of their satellites. Anyway, the guy who was in charge of that program worked overtime, you know, just for like years, like everybody, you know. I mean, he wouldn't go home at 5, he'd go home at 8 because, you know, he had to get everything done that he was supposed to get done. And he had a, you know, good position and good pay and all that. And so I was up there at his office one day and they had called him in and they were like, you have to stop working. And he's like, what do you mean you have to stop? He's like, so basically what happened to this guy is that he worked so many extra hours, and then they had this program in France called the RTT, which is the récupération de temps de travail. So basically you recover extra hours that you worked. Instead of working 35, you worked 38, so then you would have that incremental 3 hours
would go into your RTT bucket, and then you could add that RTT bucket to your vacation time or whatever.
So yeah, anyway, they call that PTO here, yeah.
Yeah, so this guy had 1 year of RTT.
And what did that do for him?
Oh, well, literally the HR people were like out in front doing handstands trying to figure out. I mean, they were like, we're going to have to call a lawyer. We're going to have to call a lawyer, you know, because this is, you know, I mean, the company was just going to get lambasted by, you know, whoever is responsible for that shit. And everything in I mean, France is a lovely place, but administratively it's ridiculous. Another quick example, the driver's code. So in California, the California driver's handbook is about, you know, like 30 or 40 pages. It's a half cut, it's large type, you know, takes about a half an hour to read it. The driver's code in France is 400 pages of fine print.
Wow.
And to pass the code in France costs every young citizen about 1,500 euros if you want to get a driver's license.
A regular non-commercial driver's license?
That's correct. Yeah, just a personal vehicle driver's license will cost you it's a long story, but my California license worked in France for a certain period of time. And then once I had overstayed my license and there was no exchange program, there's no reciprocity between France and California. So I had to take the code and I got some, you know, I got some shortcuts done because I was already had been driving, you know, provably driving for years and years and years. And so they cut some strings for me and I was able to get in and not pay quite that much. But it's created a whole cottage industry. So the regulation that everybody has to pass the code and do so many hours of driver's training has created a whole industry.
So how are the drivers in France? Are they good?
You know, not terribly fantastic, you know, to be honest.
The Germans make the cars
and the Italians are the lovers and there's something else about the drivers. I can't remember. That was a wonderful
Now, joke will the that. Police pull you over in France while you're driving if you're speeding or anything like that? Will they pull you over?
Yes. So they have a rather robust red light camera program. Right. And all of those tickets are enforceable. So they have these fixed cameras that take your speed, and they're announced with signs. So you kind of, you know, got to be spaced out if you go too fast through one of those. And then they introduced a mobile vehicle which they drive around, and it can check people going the same way as this car or oncoming traffic, and it can check up to like six vehicles simultaneously. So this thing is just a money machine that they drive around and snap photos of license plates. And I was at a rest stop on the side of the road in France, and these guys got off the freeway, went into this rest stop where I happened to be waiting, and I saw them take the plate off the car and put another one on. You know, they have all sorts of these tricks, but oh yeah, I mean it's cat and mouse.
Well, they have these license plate covers you could put on that block that from happening.
Yeah, you know, they busted that guy.
Those are against the law though, right?
Apparently, but you know, so
I
are
think
a lot
they
of
also them. Have random checkpoints where they pull you over.
Oh yes, so
they want to see if you have an open container of ketchup in the car.
France is entirely different because of Napoleonic law. There is no probable cause required to stop you. They can stop you anywhere and you have no choice but to comply. So they set up sobriety checkpoints quite frequently, and they're not announced unless you're on Waze or something like that. But I was stopped religiously, you know, just like once a week, if I was going to pick up my kid at the school, the cop would be like, you know, pull over, please. And, you know, ask me questions if I had had anything to drink for lunch and all that kind of stuff, and kind of look at me and look at my license. And then he would say, okay, you're free to go.
What kind of car were you driving at the time?
I had a really great car. I was so sorry to sell it. I had a Toyota Land Cruiser with a 6-cylinder diesel. That vehicle's only offered in Europe. They only do the V8s in North America. That was a great car.
So basically, so you must speak French very well.
Oh yeah, I'm completely fluent. I mean, conjugation in French is catastrophic. Even the French don't know how to conjugate. I watched Who Wanted to Be a Millionaire because it was on while we were cooking, and at least 5 or 6 times the question for 300,000 euros was a question on grammar, and they would just roundly fail all the time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they don't know their own grammar. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So in America, if you're a wage earner on a 35 or 38 hour week, it's going off.
Can see him, but can you hear him? I couldn't hear a thing. I heard, I saw you banging those drums, but I didn't hear a thing.
You know, that's the great thing about electronic drum kits. You can turn the drummer off.
I think it's the Zoom noise reduction thing. It just thinks drums are noise.
It is so nice.
Not so unique.
E-drums are awesome for, you know, just having that knob. Oh, you know, you're too loud. Oh, just turn it down. I mean, plus there's no miking. There's no, I mean, it's just, they have some real positives, but I still prefer acoustic over electronic. Hey, there's Ken
Porter's here. Wow. We're.
That's Ken Porter. Hey, just in time.
I tried to get Mike Bell to join us tonight. I saw him this afternoon at the Cavallo show at Opryland Hotel.
Oh, really? Really, Cavallo, eh? So how's he doing? How's the show?
The show was pretty good traffic, and everybody seemed to be pretty happy. Saw the Meyer boys and all that stuff going on. So, yeah, we had a good time.
Yeah, it seems to me that the hotel kind of gave him the kibosh on a lot of things of what they had promised him. Included in the price, not included in the price. So it's going to be touch and go whether he makes a profit or not, even if it is a large turnout.
Well, part of the issue is he had the stuff going on, but they had all the stuff in there. At the time that they did the walkthrough and everything, there was no carpet. And between that walkthrough and he walked in, they put carpet down in the room. Mm.
That's very good. What was the venue that he held this in?
Opryland Hotel, Marriott Opryland Hotel.
Oh, so it's right in the heart of town.
It's right at the by the Opry House on the. It's not in the heart of town. That's the Ryman Auditorium. This is the Opryland Hotel. It's out by the Opry House. Well, it used to be Opryland Park, and all that stuff was there.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on there with this Beyonce country music album that seems to be doing quite well? What are people saying there that you know?
I don't know much about it. I know that she put out an album. The one who would know would be Jack at 8th Day.
Oh, because it's his client?
Yeah, he's Mr. Beyonce, and he's Mr. Taylor Swift. By the way, you see that Taylor Swift and Kelsey went on vacation, and then on a podcast he was talking about naming kids.
And they were going to name it Jack? They're going to after him because he's doing the sound for them?
I saw in the grocery store, I saw there's a Taylor Swift and her boyfriend, whatever his name is, a magazine just devoted to them.
Yeah. Anyway, Cowboy Carter is what Beyonce is calling a record. I haven't heard it yet. At least if I have, I don't know I've heard it. I use YouTube Music and... So I don't know if I've heard it or not.
Yeah, when you have your own magazine being written, that's your indication you're making way too much money.
So I think it's you're very popular is the bottom line. She is mega popular.
They just announced Taylor Swift has just announced she's getting her own cable channel.
I did see today that they announced
Taylor Swift 24/7.
They announced.
No, wasn't that Sirius?
I don't know what it's on.
No, yeah, she's getting her own Sirius channel.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure.
It could be a cable channel. I don't know.
Did you guys see that Taylor Swift was there? They named five people as the newest billionaires, and Taylor Swift was on it. 1.1 bill.
Did she take up more than one slot, or she just did, or that was it? Just one slot.
One slot.
Okay, I'm joking over there, of course. One slot. But
it's XM Radio, David.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't even know they had XM Radio anymore.
Well, Sirius XM. Sorry.
Oh, right. Because they bought out one of those. By the way, have you heard what's going on with Apple right now and being sued by, you know, antitrust? Yeah, antitrust. And
by the United States.
Last night I was watching Jon Stewart, right? And he left Apple. And now we know why, is that they were curtailing who he could have as guests on his show. And he wanted to have the FTC guy, woman, the head of the FTC, and they wouldn't let him. They didn't want him to have her on his show. And now they're going to use that against Apple of what happened with the FTC commissioner.
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't let Tucker Carlson go back and be on campus at his old alma mater high school. It was too dangerous.
Who said that? Where did that come from?
St. George's School in, I think it's in Rhode Island. And so Tucker went there, his three kids went there. And there was some senior kid who, you know, wrote a letter to Tucker and asked him for an interview, and he wanted to do it. So he called the school, and the school said, no, we won't let you. It's too dangerous. People could die if you come to St. George's and speak.
I feel that way every time I see the guy. I think I might have a heart attack. You know,
whether or not you agree with him or disagree with him, the level of censorship and you know, who gets to determine what's appropriate and inappropriate? I mean, holy smokes.
Well, did you see what's going on in England right now, too? That they're pressing charges, trying to press charges on what's her name, did Harry Potter books.
Oh, J.K. Rowling, yeah, because she refuses to comply with some new gender ordinance.
No, it's a hate crime. Scotland, April 1st of all days, put in a new ordinance that if anybody is offended by anything that you say, then you can be sued for a hate crime.
That is insane. That is insane.
They were trying to arrest her.
Well, she intentionally went after them with a she provoked them, but it the law is just it's way over the top. But go from there. So I mean, I haven't read all of this. The George Carlin's now. The family won the lawsuit against this company that created an AI comedian show using his data.
Oh, I heard about that case. So it's actually been adjudicated and they won.
Well, they reached a settlement agreement.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot right now going on with AI, and that's one of the things. If you watch John Oliver last week tonight, if you watched it, he did something on AI. I think it was I'm sorry, it was Jon Stewart again. Jon Stewart did something on AI, and basically the whole thing about AI, they say it could save the world or it could destroy the world. There are two different schools on it, but basically it's designed to eliminate employees. I mean, basically with AI, they could get rid of all the lawyers. With AI, because they can get rid of all the lawyers are going to fight it like crazy because they make the laws, you know? The other thing that AI was, you know, like right now, all the artists are really concerned that AI is going to steal their profession because they could probably write better songs and perform them better than the artists themselves.
Yeah,
I read about it.
The one thing that I heard about that, and I don't remember specifically, but there was a challenge to AI created content couldn't be trademarked or patented because it isn't an original work. Essentially, everything that AI does is derived from its knowledge, having, you know, combed the internet for everything. So there was an interesting, I can't remember if it was a lawsuit or it was a ruling or, but there was that somebody talked about that. Well, that where was like, if AI wrote a song, it couldn't be patented, or, you know, it couldn't be.
Yeah,
couldn't
no, you can't. Owned. You can't get copyrighted. If it's AI, you can't get copyrighted.
Oh, that was it. So it's copyright. Yeah, I couldn't remember exactly what that was.
But how's that going to prevent me from going on the side and putting an AI thing together and creating the song and then transposing it onto a piece of paper and say that I wrote it?
Exactly.
It's AI creativity. In other words, with like for example, there was this thing with this guy that put out what was the guy's name? Drake. He put out a song between Drake and The Weeknd that was really good, and basically that was what started it because he used AI voices, and that was the problem with it.
Okay. I'm talking about creating the song on paper and then taking it out to give somebody to record it. So I
put how are they going to prove that?
Yeah. Right.
Good question.
Speaking of musicians getting in trouble, what did I see about, who is it, Puff Daddy or somebody like that? Diddy Daddy? Somebody's in trouble. Do we know what for and why?
Yeah, so the...
something about sex...
He's got two, you know, significant pieces of real estate. One's out here in Holmby Hills in Los Angeles. It's like 40,000 square foot house. And then he's got another one. And so they raided both locations because there have been people that are saying that
underage.
That he had these crazy parties with records execs and agents and celebrities and you name it, high profile political people and so on and so forth. And a lot of pretty ugly and nefarious activities were going on at these parties, and it was recorded.
Every room had cameras. He had secret cameras in every room in the house.
Right. So they.
So is that what he's getting in trouble for, or the activities?
Well, they went in there and they had the dogs that can sniff out USB drives, and they basically absconded.
Whoa. Dogs that could sniff out USB drives? Is that what you just said?
Yep. Highly trained. These things, apparently, they caught a pedophile because the dog kept barking, and there was just a cup full of pens, and inside of one of the pens was actually a fake USB device, and on that device was some really awful content, and the dog was credited of having sniffed out the USB drive in a pen cup.
And it's the activities that are on the USB. It's not the fact that he has the activities. I mean, that he had the USB drives. It's the activities he's in trouble for.
They subpoenaed and came in and searched and took all of that stuff, and we'll go back and look at all of it and see if there's anything on there that's bad news. But apparently he's lawyered up.
I heard he like left the country or something.
What I heard is that he was in Miami when his LA house got raided.
Yeah.
Okay. That's almost leaving the country. I heard wrong, obviously.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. And the other thing about these secret cameras, they just made past the ruling, Airbnb passed the ruling that if you have an Airbnb, you can't have any security cameras in the house. I don't know if it's inside and outside, but I know for sure it's definitely outside. Inside.
Inside. They had a case where somebody had an Airbnb and was, you know, had cameras in the bathroom and bedroom and, you know, was just filming everything.
I thought the cameras had to be visible and known. You could still have a security camera in there, but you couldn't have a hidden camera.
None of them anymore.
None? Okay.
Well, hey, Kenny, before you leave, Mr. Newman, before you leave, is there anything that you know now that you didn't know then that you wish you knew now and then?
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because just today I was listening to some recordings of, believe it or not, Barry Manilow shows from the 90s, because I found a pile of mini discs. And I was like, well, I should transfer these mini discs and get rid of them. So I was listening to these shows.
Great shades of Paul Anka. Unbelievable. Okay. Well, I guess they all have it.
What? What? Anyway.
Great shades of Paul Anka.
So anyway, what I feel like is, wow, they sounded really good. I was like, I don't have it sounding that good these days. And I think it's mostly because he doesn't sing the way he used to, or hold the microphone as close as he used to, or sing as loudly or something. But it really sounded good. So my takeaway from listening to those old recordings was, wow, it was pretty cool. And it also could have been that it was analog consoles, you know? Right, Kurt?
Analog Sony, baby.
Yeah, I, you know, something about these recordings, I listen to them, I go, wow, they really sound way better than what I'm doing these days.
I think that's your imagination. I think, you know, you're one of the most humblest guys I know, and that's why you're so good at what you do. I really believe that from the bottom of my heart, that you don't give yourself the credit that you deserve for what you do, because you do it great. And everybody but you seems to know that.
Interestingly enough, it's funny you say that, Jan, because we did a benefit show last week. Let's see, when was it? It was a few days ago. And I was, my mind was blown after that show, because the next day I got an email from Barry saying how great the sound was. He says, everybody's telling me that they won't stop raving about the sound for the show. Thanks for all you do. And I was like, wow, who sent this? Not the same Barry that I usually work for. But I hope that
now's
Barry
the time
shows
for a raise.
Up. From
now's the yeah, time right. for a raise. Yes.
I hope he that guy shows up the next time we work, because that was very cool. And the monitor guy, Will, got one also. I bet everybody got him, because he was really thrilled with how the show went. It was a benefit show for an organization called DAP. I can't remember now, DAP something, but it used to stand for Desert AIDS Project, and it was now it's just DAP. And anyway, they really wanted to resurrect the image of this show, because they had a couple of years where they did this show. It's a fundraiser that they do every year. They did it a couple of years in a row, and it was very how you say, it was a failure in the community. The community was like, oh, we're never going to go to that show again, because one of the years the performer that they hired only did one song, and it was very disappointing. Then the other year they said, oh, let's have it outside. It'll be nice to have it outside. And it was so cold, they didn't allow for it being cold outside. And so everybody left. So it was a bust. And so they were really, I mean, everybody was really happy that he resurrected the image or the reputation of this benefit, so that they can have benefits in the future that will be as well received. Anyway, yep. Bottom line is, if I knew whatever it was I was doing in the 90s with the sound, I'd love to do that again.
Well, it's the other way around, but that's good.
It's the other way around, Kenny, is if you knew what you were doing now, you would have told the younger you to do it.
Yeah, we didn't have those silly digital consoles with only 30 to some faders on them, and with only one channel at a time of EQ knobs. You know, we had access to everything all the time.
Well, the question
right,
is,
yes,
you
the
can
signal
go
path
back
is much
in time.
Clearer and cleaner and legit.
Yeah, if you can go back in time and tell yourself something that would change your life, would you do it? If I, you know, like I asked.
Oh, well, if
that.
I went back in time, I would. I remember when I was working at the Sands in Atlantic City, and this insurance agent said, and you know, every insurance agent says this, pay yourself first. And I didn't pay attention to him. And I wish I had. That's all. That would be the one thing. Pay yourself first. In other words, save money for the future, because you'll need it. He was right.
Yeah. But then again, would that have changed your life? If you were to listen to him right now, would
change
you be
my
in
life
the
now?
Same place? Would you be in the same place you are now if you made that change? Like, I'll give you one example with me. When I was 13 years old, on the highest holy day of the Jewish New Year, we were at temple, and I was with the son of the police chief of the Brooklyn precinct. And he had gone to the office, his father's, you know, office, and found a bag of marijuana in his father's desk. So he took some of it and brought it back. And on Yom Kippur, behind the temple, he says, "Hey, you want to try something cool?" And I said, "Sure." And if I could go back in time, would I have said to myself, "Don't do it. Don't smoke that marijuana. Don't do it. Don't do it. Big mistake if you do it." And yet, if I didn't do that, my whole life would be different. I probably never would have gotten in the music business. Who knows where I would be today? I might have been an insurance salesman or a doctor, or, you know, but that would, that one moment in time, if I know now, you know, if I knew then what I know now, would I have taken that advice?
If
don't know.
At 13, you would have done it at 15, and everything would have been the same.
Yeah, well, I
think you would have been right. Well,
time to go. There's plenty of things that we did. I mean, we changed, that would change our lives, I'm sure, that if we did it. But I think it would change it for the worse, because I think we would all agree that we appreciate what we've done in our lives, right?
I mean, I went to Medicare in my teeth, you know, stuff like that. You know, I mean, I did okay, but my mother always said, take good care of your teeth. They have to last the rest of your life. So, you know, I would have been a little bit better, a little more brushing than I did. That's all.
That wouldn't change your life, though. So, all right. Well, good talking to you guys. Have a good one. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Have a great week. I'll call you in about 8 hours.
I'll call you, David.
Okay.
All right, Kenny, I'll talk to you soon as well. So it's, everything is cool. So, I mean, is there anybody that has anything that they want to say regarding the theme of the show? If only I knew then what I know now. Anybody? Ken Porter, what about you? Anything?
So I knew then, I knew now. I would have stayed in the as a musician instead of in the crazy business. Actually, I'd like to hear Wayne. Yep.
What was that, Ken?
I'd like to hear Wayne's stories.
Oh, yeah, geez. Wayne. I think I had too many turning points that would have had a different outcome.
So you wouldn't have gone tipping over kangaroos in the outback, or?
Oh, no, we got kangaroos around here every now and again. But,
are they wild kangaroos, or are they in the all put away in the zoo?
Oh, yeah, up on our local hill, you get a few wild kangaroos. The others are in the zoo. But actually, it was really quite interesting. The other day, or about 3 months ago, I was driving down the street that I grew up in, which I still drive down because I lived there for 30 years with my mum and dad. And I'd never seen it before, but I'm driving down the street. It's a four-lane one. And here comes four kangaroos across the road. I have never seen that in my whole driving life, 40 years or 45 years.
You didn't stop and ask the kangaroos why they crossed the road?
No, I didn't. They go pretty quick. You don't want to run into them, right? You don't want to run into them.
So did you say that you lived with your parents till you were 30?
Sorry?
You just said you lived with your parents till you were 30?
Yeah, about 31, I think. And I was heavily involved in when I was 18 to 24 in a band, and that's how the whole audio things. Oh, the audio started before that, when I was in my teens. But I think that one of the things is interesting. Sometimes I think that the audio industry, the music, it's like you said, it's especially in a regional town. It's very there's not big. You generally don't get to save money, put it that way. Whereas if you have a regular job, earning about the same money, you'll always save money by the time you're 60. But I'm pretty happy. I was very happy with all my years, and I couldn't have been happier in being in a little town and not going to the Sydney in my audio world. I was very lucky. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I've always put massive amounts of effort in anything I do. I don't always succeed, though. You know, something always, you might fail no matter how much effort you put in.
Look at it like this, Wayne. It's not that you failed. You just learned a way that it didn't work.
Yes. Sometimes it's out of your control, though. Yeah. But I think at the end of the day, you know what job you choose when you're 20 or 18? It's like you said, Jam, whatever job you choose when you're 20 is the scenario to where you're heading. Is that correct?
Maybe, you know.
If it lasts for 10 years, say, for example.
Yeah, I mean, I loved what I did when I was in my 20s. I had a great time. You know, I was just loving the music industry, and I loved it, but I didn't get paid. I didn't get paid the kind of money that I deserved to get paid, because when you do something for your soul, people always take advantage of you. If you're doing something that you really want to do, people will take advantage. I always used to say this when I was doing stand up and playing guitar, people would call me up and say, "Hey, why don't you come over to my house? We're having a party. Bring your guitar, and you know you could play for us." And I'd say, "Oh, great, great." And then I would think, well, if I was a plumber, would they call me up and say, "Hey, I'm having a party at my house. Could you come over, bring your tools, and fix my toilet?"
Well, I'm
you know. But I was never a plumber, so nobody ever asked me that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, to go back to what we were talking about, everybody works for themselves. Everybody works for themselves. Even if you have a job where you get a paycheck, you're still working for yourselves, because this is what you're doing in life. And the goal of work is to be the best person you could be at what you do, and do the most education you can to get better at what you do. And then eventually you move on to getting, you know, because education, as I remember I said in the beginning of the show, is that we all get paid in direct proportion for what we do, our ability to do it, and the difficulty in replacing us. And I didn't really give you any examples, but I will give you an example. I'll give you an example right now. If you're a janitor and that's what you do, you're a janitor. Is that, you know, that's what you do, your ability to do it. If you're the best janitor in the world, that's great. But what's the difficulty in replacing a janitor? Not much. So a janitor will never get paid like a neurosurgeon. If you're a neurosurgeon, your ability to do it, the good ones, they can charge whatever they want because you can't replace them. And it's the same thing of what we do in our world as an engineer, like Kurt. You know, why would Kurt or David, why do they get the top dollar for what they do? Well, because it's not what they do, is what they know. Because let's just say, for example, you're in a show and something goes wrong, you want David or Kurt or Ken Porter, you know, or Brian, you know, somebody who's been doing it, who knows what they're doing. So if there's a challenge, they can fix it quickly, right, Kurt?
There's one thing that you have to add to that, and that's knowing what you're worth and getting it. Because if you don't demand what you're worth, they're not going to pay it to you. They're going to pay the least amount of possible because they can get you for that.
So that's correct.
You really need to be able to stand up for yourself. In addition to all of that.
Yes. Yes, that's right. That's true. That's true. It's absolutely true. But to go back to my analogy, if you're a janitor, you can't ask for $1,000 a week because there's too many other janitors out there that they could replace you with, no matter how good you are. You know, here I see it in Thailand that there's so much labor here. So much labor that could be replaced so easily that they get away with paying these people $3 a day. Everybody gets, you know, the average rate is 300 baht a day, which is basically 300 baht a day. 100 baht is $3. So they get paid $10 a day is what, you know, no matter what they do. And they work as many hours as the boss needs them to work. One of the saddest things I see are all these people that have come in from Myanmar and they are doing construction labor. And at the end of the day, they pack these people into like a crane truck. And you could see there's maybe 20 people in a space where all they can do is sit up straight, and they drive them to wherever they're going to be staying at the end of the night. And you could see how they've been worked all day to the bone. And yet, it happens all over Thailand. So, you know, because of what they do, and there's no difficulty in replacing them, so they can pay them whatever they want.
I have to say one thing, Jan, if I possibly was going to say something that I would have changed, I would probably wouldn't have become a fridge mechanic. And I probably would have taken a bigger risk, should have taken a risk in my 20s of going to Sydney or Melbourne and seeing if I was going to fail or get burnt out in the audio game. So in other words, you went where staying in Wagga was a mistake in this field. Not a mistake, because I can't complain one little bit about how lucky I was in the, and still am. But I just don't, you know, you get older and you can't be driving around to Sydney to do shows.
Well, when I was 22, I got in a car and drove across the country and moved to Los Angeles. I moved to Santa Barbara, found out that I couldn't make a living in Santa Barbara, even though I had gone to school in Santa Barbara before that, couldn't make a living. Then moved down to LA. I only knew one person, Michael Gladstone, and I had a cousin living there. And, you know, the rest of my life is history. But I think about it like in the terms of It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, if you remember that movie, whereas he's thinking of killing himself and the angel comes down to show him how his life had affected so many other lives. And if he wasn't in their life, how different their lives would be. Do you remember that movie, anybody?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
You know, and that's how I feel about what I've, you know, that's how I feel right now. You know, if I would have not done drugs, I would have not gotten into music. I would have just followed the career path of being, you know, going to school and becoming a doctor or becoming, you know, some sort of, you know, educated entrepreneur, my life would be different. I never would have went to California. I never would have experienced going on the road with Led Zeppelin. I would never have experienced working, you know, at the House of Blues. I would never experience working with Prince. All of these things that, you know, that were just, you know, inbred in my life, who I am today, I wouldn't be the same person. I never would have met David Dansky. You know, I never would have been, we wouldn't be doing this show right now. I wouldn't be here. You know, I wouldn't have started Sound Broker.
It's all because of that big bottle of apple juice you drank.
Well, that was a big apple. That was another story. That was a Grateful Dead show at the Fillmore East. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I was tripping for about 5 days afterwards. And by the way, that got me out of the military. So there you go. one thing leads to another, baby. All right. Listen, guys, we're all going to go right now. We're going to, those who want to stay in the room can stay in the room. But just remember, you make it happen. Have a great week. You know, share this podcast, Zoomcast, with your friends. Give it a thumbs up on Facebook. AI is doing a summary, so I will send to everyone who's been in the room, who comes in the room now, we'll put on the mailing list, and you'll get the AI summary of what we talked about. And if anybody has any ideas of what you want to talk about, you know, send me an email or DM me and we'll cover that in the next show. And with that in mind, remember, everything you heard is an opinion today. So do your own research. And before I say goodbye to social media, is there anybody in the room that wants to say anything to anybody for posterity's sake?
Hey, Sam, I know you're watching.
Well, thanks, Sam, for watching. And I appreciate it. Remember, thumbs up, you know, all that stuff. And remember, you make it happen. We'll talk to you again next week. We're going to stay in the room. So be safe and stay healthy. And until then, you make it happen. Go out and make it happen. And we are off the air.